Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Andy, let's jump into this horrible football game that's going to happen Thursday night football. Two teams that are just can't win, the Giants and the Eagles. I will say this, though. If I were a betting man and I had an extra $100 laying around, I'm putting it on the Eagles tonight. Did I say that? I'm just saying. That's what I would be doing.
Well, I don't think you're alone there. You know what? There's some good news here because the Giants really are the most talented football team in New York City. You know that, right?
That's how bad it is.
Right. It is pretty bad. These two teams are combined 2-9-1. It's disgusting. It really is. But you know what? Get it over with on a Thursday so you don't have to watch it on a Sunday. But really and truly, it just there's so many problems with the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're really better, I think, than their record. They've been decimated with injuries, really, sick bay. And tonight, Zach Ertz, the tight end, he's not going to play. Miles Sanders, the running back, he's out as well. Although I still think they have enough talent to get by the Giants.
I do too, Andy. Here's the other part, too. You know, Chris gives me a hard time because I call him Wentz in a lifetime, Wentzylvania. Carson Wentz, before he's had his injury issues, was on his way to an MVP. And I know that was a few years ago, and they've struggled. They did come back last year, Andy, and they won the division, right? Mm. They beat the Cowboys in a big game.
Yes.
And the division was on the line. And Carson Wentz played well with the MASH unit. He's been playing with the MASH unit for the last 2.5 years. And for whatever reason, they just cannot stay healthy, that team. And we get it. He wasn't a quarterback when they won the Super Bowl. But I just do not believe, I'm not giving up on Carson Wentz. I believe as much in Carson Wentz as I did a few years ago when he was on his way to the MVP. Because I really, when I look at it, Andy, I don't care who you are, if they don't protect you up front, you're going to struggle.
No,
you're not going to win. If the defense can't stop anybody else, you're not going to win. I don't care who the quarterback is. And I'm not saying he's been perfect. I think he's tried to be perfect. He's thrown picks because he's trying to force stuff, trying to make things happen. Probably should throw the ball out of bounds more times than he's not, right? Trying to make something happen, trying to make a chicken salad out of chicken blank. I mean, that's where he's at. But I'm not giving up on him, Andy. A lot of people want to say, hey, you know, put in Hurts, you know, forget about Carson Wentz. Move on. The time is over. Let's do it. I've seen petitions on social media to bench him. Where are you on Carson Wentz?
Well, let me back up a second. You mentioned the injury factor with the knee, and I think that anytime that happens, I think you become gun-shy. Unless your name is Alex Smith, you're gun-shy. And I think he's a little bit gun-shy with that injury, but getting hit again. And certainly, way back when, you maybe remember a TV commercial for cigarettes saying it's what's up front that counts. That should go for the National Football League. It's what's up front that counts. You have an offensive line that could protect your quarterback. Things are going to be good. You don't want to get grass stains on your butt, which he's getting all year long. He's been sacked. He's been running for his life and things like that. So I think he's somewhat gun-shy. Can he get it done in the quarterbacking situation in the National Football League? I think he can. And remember, they win tonight. They're in first place. They win tonight. They're in first place. That's how bad that conference is. But still in all, I mean, they can win. And I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Carson Wentz. Given some people behind, I want to see what DeSean Jackson can do tonight getting back in the lineup.
And Andy, there was a story in the Bleacher Report, which was very interesting. Despite their record, they talked to several NFL executives who said that they were very impressed by Wentz the last few games, given the fact that they've been without 9 of their projected week 1 starters on offense. 9. And I get it. They're only 1-4-1, but they've been putting up points. They won a game on the road in San Francisco. That was the game that they did win.
They almost pulled out last week against the Ravens.
Right, and they came back in that game. And they're in the hunt. They're in the thick of things. And you know what might actually save them long-term, Andy? Is that tie. That tie, because it's one less loss, might actually give them the division down the road.
Well, it could very well be. But you know what? I believe in that Ravens game. And the Ravens beat them 30-28. I think Baltimore was up like 17-0 in that game. And Philadelphia came back. They don't quit. They don't quit. And they almost pulled that upset over there. And they were bailed out, obviously, when Wentz couldn't run the ball in for a two-point conversion with about, 2 minutes remaining in that ball game last week. But Wentz brought them back. And what I like about that team, even though they have that record of 1-4-1, they're not quitting. They don't have enough guys to quit. That's the problem. They're all on sick pay. But still in all, I like the fight in this team. I really do.
I do too. And you know what? Here's the other part. This is, and I do say this, this is a must win. A must win game for the Eagles. It's at home. The Giants are coming off a win against Washington, where Washington went for it instead of tying the game. Where were you on that call? Did you like that?
You know what, though? Honestly, I think that in a situation where you have nothing to play for and your record is what it is, I give the coach a lot of guts for doing that. I like that. I like the Riverboat Gambler. I really do. Go for it. What do you got to lose? You know, a team has a record like Washington or the Giants or even Philadelphia. What do you have to lose when you have a record like that? You go for it.
But see, here's the problem. In that division, if this was a normal year and you were Washington, I would agree with you. But because everybody's jumbled up and no one's running away with the division, that was a game you possibly could have won. They scored a touchdown late to tie the game. They had some mojo momentum going. I think I would kick the extra point and try to beat the Giants in overtime. And then we saw the Romeo Crennel call. Did you see that one or two,
yes.
Andy?
Yeah, what was that? I like that. I like the guy that has a pair of hangy downs, and he's going for it, really. You have a team that has nothing to gain, nothing to lose. They're just playing out the string, really. And I think that he wants to show his team what kind of a coach he might be. Now, again, no, he wins that game, all the credit goes on his shoulders, not to the team. And I don't like that. Yeah, that would have happened. They win that ball game. It's like, hey, look what Romeo did, bada bing, bada bang. No, but still, you got to go for it because you have nothing to lose.
Here's the other part, too. I think Carson Wentz the media has been really hard on this guy, and he might not be the most relatable guy. Everybody in the locker room doesn't love him or whatever it is. And obviously, they won a Super Bowl without him. So it's easy not to, you know what I mean? To kind of say, oh, well, not to fully embrace him or endorse him because he wasn't the quarterback when they won. But I think the media has been really hard, Andy, when you think about all the injuries and what has happened to this team. It's not usually, we're not that tough on somebody who got hurt, who has to force their way back. And then when you look at all the other guys around him, I just said it. 9 projected starters from week 1 are down. How right. many guys can win like that? I'm just forget about Carson Wentz. How many guys?
No, but you're right. But I think part of the problem, the criticism that he gets, is because he plays in Philadelphia. I don't hear the same criticism for Kirk Cousins. I really don't. I think Philadelphia has a lot to do with that. Maybe it's expectations in that town, where they've been, where they were. But, hey, everybody expected a lot more out of the Vikings this year, too.
No, and you're right. And Kirk Cousins has been a total
disaster.
A disappointment. Right, because they thought, remember, they had the defense. They figured they'd add an upgrade at quarterback, and they'd have a chance to win a Super Bowl. Am I right? And
yeah.
That just hasn't happened. It's actually taken a step back. And I get it. Everybody's in love with Nick Foles. You're always the backup quarterback is always the greatest guy in town, right? Because he ain't playing. And in Nick Foles' case, he did wind up playing. And he played unbelievable in the Super Bowl. Outdueled Tom Brady, made all the throws and won a Super Bowl. But the Eagles got it right when they re-signed Carson Wentz despite his injury. If I remember correctly, I think Carson Wentz took an ambulance to the contract signing. That's how banged up he was. But they know this guy's a good quarterback. He's a franchise quarterback. I believe he can get them where they want to go if other guys around him are healthy and if he's healthy.
Well, they start getting healthy right now, and they win tonight against the Giants. Their schedule is fairly decent because after the Giants, they got Dallas, then they got a bye, then they got the Giants again, so they can make some headway in the league.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And I'll tell you this, Andy. You know what I've learned about being out here in Los Angeles?
That
the Dodger fans, the Dodger fans are good baseball fans. Mm. I always questioned it because, you know, you used to see people show up late.
And leave early.
Leave early, right, and all kinds of stuff. And you look at the empty seats sometimes and you go, where are the people, right? But I get it, Andy. It's crazy here with the traffic normally and driving. But they show up 4 million strong every year. It's a beautiful venue, Chavez Ravine, where Dodger Stadium is, the second oldest stadium in the National League behind Wrigley. People wear their L.A. Dodger hats and their Dodger blue. I'm telling you, I have been converted and changed. Hail to Dodger fans. They are good baseball fans. They care about this team, Andy. They love it.
Give me the pecking order, though. Is it Dodgers-Lakers or Lakers-Dodgers?
Rob G., we need you to chime in. I know everybody says it's
or
the
Clippers.
Lakers.
Or Clippers.
Oh, no, not the Clippers. But because the Lakers have obviously done a lot more winning in the last 20 years than the Dodgers. The Dodgers haven't won a World Series since 1988. But, Rob G., am I wrong about the love for the Dodgers and this area?
Oh, no, I think even the ratings in Los Angeles, game one of the World Series trumped game one of the NBA Finals, and that was with LeBron and the Lakers.
And that's strange. I'll tell you why I say that. Because
that says a lot. What does that say? I didn't even realize that, Rob G.
That's a tremendous stat. I'll tell you what, because as you know, you covered baseball in those major markets. To me, baseball, where the biggest change has been in all these years is that it's gone from a national sport to almost a localized sport, because if your town is not involved in playoff activity, you really don't care. Where in the NFL...
I don't know. When people say that they don't care, I find that it is different, Andy, and this is what I think is a difference, and then we'll get into the Dodgers and Dave Roberts and what they did in Game 2. But I think it's different now with attention spans and the way there used to be a time where you couldn't watch all the games. You know that in Cincinnati, every game wasn't on television. The only time you saw other league was on the game of the week. Now we can watch every game, every minute. So there's no urgency to it anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like it's like we love ice cream until we start working at the ice cream factory. Right. And then we go, I'll get some tomorrow.
And that was an advantage this year because I thought that 60-game schedule gave you some of that urgency. I liked it in a sense because, you know, less is more, and I like that.
Right. All right. But
let's get into the Dodgers because more is less for them because they use 7 freaking pitchers to lose 6-4. This is not the game of baseball that I remember. 7 pitches to 6-4 loss, okay, against Tampa Bay. And I'm going to tell you a stat here, which I'm not a big stat guy, but in the 2 games, another series is tied at 1 apiece, 43 strikeouts in a total of 108 outs. That's disgusting. It really is.
No, but that's where we are in the game, unfortunately, with the analytics. And I'm not one of these, hey, you kids, get off my lawn, guys. but you can't just do analytics by itself. Billy Bean just left the Oakland A's, right, Andy? Mm-hmm. And he's the father of that. What have they won? And everybody's following his lead. Please tell me. He was there 30 years. You know how many series they advanced in 30 years? 2. And they made a movie about his life, about them winning 20 games in a row. Not winning a World Series or changing the game where they proved their success. So my point is the analytics part should be a part of it, but not the entire enchilada.
Right. And to me, I think sometimes it's overload. Launch angle? Are you kidding me? I don't even want to talk. I don't even want to talk about that term, launch angle. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You got to get personnel. And I still like the managers that go with their gut feeling, the lefty-righty combo, righty-lefty, things like that. You got Tony Gosselin. He threw on 2 days rest. He gave out that first inning home run to Brandon Lowe. I mean, come on. And it goes on 1 1/3 innings. Then they bring in Dustin May on 2 days rest. He gives up 4 runs, 1 1/3. Come on. It doesn't make any sense. And now, you know, during these playoffs activities, they didn't have any days off except for today. That's killing the rotation. It's killing their arms.
No doubt about it. This is a whole different situation. But this is a part of this whole thing about not having a starter but an opener, pitching 7 guys in a game. I mean, Andy, basically the Dodgers said, okay, we won game one, but here's game two. Seriously, the Tampa Bay. They were able to put their Blake Snell, their ace, out there, right? What are you going to do when you got an ace going and you got a mishmash of 6 or 7 guys pitching?
Well, I mean, Snell was tremendous. Took 2 hits. He gave it the home run, though, but he had 6 innings under his belt. And he's pitching. They couldn't touch him. That I understand. But still in all, I mean, I think that Dave Roberts put the Dodgers in a position to lose. And now these pitchers are worn out. They really are. They got that day off now, but what are you going to do? I expected more. I thought the Dodgers would win this series in 5 games. Maybe they still will. I don't think so right now, though. I don't think so.
Yeah, I had them in 6 originally, and I just, you got to be real careful because this next game is a huge game. Bueller's pitching for the Dodgers, so they have who they want on the mound, but this is a big game, and I think people have underestimated Tampa Bay the whole way. And Andy, I know we don't know many of the players. It's a low-budget team. They play in a terrible stadium. They have a bad fan support. I get all that. I think baseball should admit that they made a mistake with Tampa Bay and move right. The team. I just admit it. Sometimes you don't get it right, and Tampa Bay has never been right. But here's some numbers that tell you that Tampa Bay is in the mix, okay? Tampa Bay against teams over 500 this year, Andy, 21-8. The Dodgers were only 8-5, so they had a big record, the best record in baseball, but they played a lot of teams that were under 500. Tampa Bay doesn't hit that well. Coming into the World Series, they were batting like 206, 209 as a team. But they get timely hits. The Dodgers were batting 270, and they're, you know, hitting all these home runs. But Tampa has pitching, and most of the time, Andy, in the World Series and the postseason, what is it? It's pitching.
It's always pitching.
Right?
It's always
defense.
It's always,
and right. Timely hitting. You don't need to win 15-3. You could win 2-1 or 3-1 with a big hit with 2 outs.
Well, I'm with you right there. But the funny thing is, you could talk about on the field. I'm going to talk about off the field because I got to believe that Clayton Kershaw and Mookie Betts' salary is more money than half of the Tampa Bay roster's salary. I think I read somewhere that Tampa Bay's pitching staff is something in the neighborhood of $575,000. They're relief corps. They're relievers. I mean, the total salary is like $575,000, which is amazing, really. And to me, that gives hope to the smaller markets, I would think. Smaller markets that, like the Minnesotas and the Kansas Cities, that they can compete, and they have over the years. But still in all, I think that you've got a team like the Dodgers, it would be a major disappointment if they fell flat on their face again in the World Series.
No, this is huge for the Dodgers, as we know. This is the third time in 4 years they've been in the World Series. On paper, Andy, they have the best team.
Yes, they do.
Without question, they have the best team on paper. And they need to win. They haven't won since 1988. In fact, the last time they won in 1988, the Lakers also won the NBA championship. And already the Lakers have won, so the Dodgers are trying to do this again. But it's been 32 long years. And I think the Dodgers are out of excuses. I think fans will not accept anything other than a championship. But as I look at it, and I know after game one, it looked like it was easy, right? And they were just going to roll. And then game two came along, and the momentum went away because Snell's a great pitcher for Tampa Bay. And he had a no-hitter, into the sixth inning. Right, that the Dodgers' bats were silent. So this thing is not over. I think game three will be definitely pivotal. I picked the Dodgers in 6, but I cannot poo-poo Tampa Bay.
Okay, but I ask you this, as a baseball maven, and you are, is it better for Major League Baseball to have the David and Goliaths together and the younger guy, the also ran, if you will, the Tampa win the World Series. Is that better for Major League Baseball? You got the Dodgers, 43-17, first place in the NL West, best record in baseball. Team batting 118 home runs. They had the best record in the majors in pitching with a 3.02 ERA. Everything was in their favor. Should they lose the World Series, is it better for Major League Baseball?
That's a great question. It could be to show that you know, other teams can win, and you want parity. You don't want a situation where the same teams win all the time. But as far as national or TV ratings, Tampa is just not going to help you, and it's just the way it is. And the NBA Finals had Miami instead of maybe the Lakers and Milwaukee. You know, with a great star. You know, or when the Clippers didn't make it to the Western Conference Finals, did that help hurt ratings? That hurt ratings as well. So it depends on what you're looking at. Are you looking at it from a rating standpoint, or are you looking at it from the sport being healthy?
Standpoint.
Yeah, a competitive standpoint, yeah. It would be Tampa, no doubt.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The NFL basically has decided that they're not going to postpone games. Now, people are turning up with COVID, and now they're just kind of telling those people to isolate and, you know, get away from everybody else, and we'll just keep playing. The band's going to play as the Titanic sinks. Is this a good idea by the NFL?
I think it's a crazy idea, but I think it's twofold. Number one, as a fan, and I'm a big fan, I love Sundays and I love Thursdays, I love Mondays, I love watching football on TV. And I think that, as a selfish point of view, I want to see him forge on. I think that's the attitude of the commissioner. We're not doing any cancellations. We're moving on. No postponements. As far as health and safety, I think it's crazy. But these guys are paid professionals. They know what they're getting into. It's a lot different than the college game. It's a lot different.
I agree with you on that because college kids, to put those kids out there not knowing like what's going to happen 5-10 years from now, and then Right. Who's going to be left holding the bag. Am I right, Andy?
Right, right. And more than that, if you're a college kid, yes, it's health and safety. You're putting that at risk, but you're also risking a paid professional career.
No, that's true. But I think the NFL, and here's – I didn't understand why they weren't testing day of game, right? They would test every other day. And then they started pushing games around, and now it just seemed like they just decided, like, okay, we don't have enough weeks. Andy, we can't change the Super Bowl date. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, had they not been greedy and thought about it, the way baseball cut down to 60 games, what if they would have just said, we play 12 games, give us 5 weeks of leeway in case we have to cancel, postpone, move around games. Do you see
right.
what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and give yourself a
further.
Chance to make up games.
Right, and the players have the option. I mean, a lot of people opted out in New England. A lot of players opted out. I get that. But here's the question. I'm talking for the fan right now. You know, this COVID cases are spiking in like 38 states right now. And what I'm hearing on a week-to-week basis, more and more people are permitted in stadia. They really are. In Cincinnati for the Bengals, and believe me, they invented social distancing before there was social distancing, because no one goes to the games anyway. Really, those crowds are empty. But 2 weeks ago in Cincinnati, they had 6,000. They're playing the Browns this Sunday. They're permitting 12,000 in there. I don't get it. If it's spiking, why are you letting more people in there? Why?
And
I don't understand.
Is it true that one day you were going to the cleaners and you put two Bengals tickets on your windshield when you came out, there was four? Is that
exactly.
true?
Exactly. Yeah, right. It's amazing. I mean, you talk about the people to left out the Jets and the Giants, and certainly they're down, and they've been down for a little bit. Nothing like the Cincinnati Bengals. That team is cursed. It really is. I mean, you talk about the Dave Shula. Were you here when Dave Shula was coaching?
No,
I think you were.
I was there. Okay. No, I was there when before that. I went to the Super Bowl.
Okay, Sam.
Sam, right.
Okay, so after 22 games, right now Zach Taylor is 3-18-1. Dave Shula was 5-17. So basically, Dave Shula's in the clear. He may get his name etched out of the record book because of Zach Taylor, which I never thought was going to be a great hire anyway. I believe that players want to have a coach that has been there and done that, and they can respect what he says. And this guy never really did anything.
So let me ask you, when they had 6,000, how many tickets were available? Was that all that was available?
Oh, that was
when they
the
sold
limit,
out?
I think,
So it was 6,000, and now they're going to double it to 12.
Right, and I don't know why. And they're doing it all over. I mean, I watched the game in Kansas City on TV the other night. They had a pretty good, I think they had 12,000 there. So they're letting people in. You know that it's not a healthy environment. And again, I'm watching college games. I'm seeing kids without shirts on, with no masks on, going crazy. I don't get it. I just don't understand it. I love football. I don't want to see it being canceled, but not at the expense of health and safety.
No, I'm with you, and it looks as if, you know, with the Raiders situation, and Rob G, can you hop in here about Rob G is the biggest Raiders fan going, and Tom Brady's going to catch a break with the Raiders.
Oh, that's the understatement of the year, Rob Parker.
And you know it. I call now, Tom Brady the low.
I'm sure you guys already know the story, but Raiders right tackle Trent Brown tested positive for COVID.
Correct.
And because he was walking around the team facility without a mask, he was not wearing his tracer that all the players are supposed to wear, he may or may not have exposed the entire offensive line in doing so. So what the NFL is doing is they've decided to hold out the rest of the Raiders offensive line, anyone who was exposed, in a precautionary measure, which is fine.
Right.
My problem with it, though, and I'll get your guys' thoughts on this, is when the Titans had their outbreak, they postponed a game. They, you know, held them out for a week. They moved around, I think, 8 different games to make way for this one game to reschedule. Right. And when the Raiders may or may not have an outbreak, we don't know about the other players yet.
Right.
Rather than postpone anything, what they did is they moved the games earlier in the day to avoid the Sunday night football snafu.
No, and I'm with you. I think it's totally, if I'm Mark Davis and I'm Chucky, I'm looking at this going, this is BS. That you're going to deplete my offensive line and expect me to win a football game with a makeshift offensive line. That's where the game is won, in the trenches. You can't get rid of everybody, right?
But you hit it on the head, because there's not enough room on the calendar to keep on postponing games. Early on, they did it. There was bye weeks coming up. You know, as the season moves on, the schedule gets tighter. It's like when you're in the red zone, it's very hard to throw a pass because the field is shortened. You got a shortened field. It's the same thing now with the schedule. You have a shortened schedule right now. So they want to forge on and play and do what they got to do. They'll probably test on Sunday morning, the day of the game, to see if these guys are available to play.
Yeah, I think it's unfair. I do, and that's because they didn't plan for this. They really didn't. They just decided that they were going to go and get their 16 games in, come hella high water, right? And they didn't think that they could have this situation, which I don't understand, because they saw what happened in baseball early on, and then baseball got it corrected, right? There were teams that didn't play, the Marlins,
the Cardinals,
yeah. Yes. And they were off for like 2 weeks, which is not fair. You know, in baseball, where you're used to playing, Andy, every day. So to be off for 2 weeks is definitely hurts a baseball team. So I'm just not sure where the NFL is and what they're doing. It seems like they're just full steam ahead.
But I'd rather see this. I'd rather see them play at a disadvantage than I heard a rumor about a week or so ago that they were going to give Tennessee a forfeiture. How do you forfeit a game if a guy, God forbid, connects with a COVID-19 situation? You can't forfeit a team. You can't do that.
That wouldn't be fair at all.
That's ridiculous.